God, rip the lid of my soul open. Look down inside me and tell me what I need to hear. Have you?
Amen.
Well, you kind of hesitant on amen and that. Amen. Well, the shout's wonderful. Yes, it is. But, amen, when God loves us enough to tell us what's wrong.
Right.
Amen. And help us. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for his presence. Thankful for Brother Myers. Two of my best friends are here tonight, Brother Myers and Brother Daggett. I've told these men things I've not told anybody else. Amen. They are just dear and close friends of mine. I appreciate them making the journey. We're going to be in revival with him the first week of February, so that means you owe him a night. Amen. You owe us a night. Amen. Praise God. I've been here every night, so you owe me more than one night. But now you owe both of us at least one night. Amen. But we're thankful for that. Excited about what God's doing. I feel like God's moving in this hour. Aren't you glad he's not left us in these last days by ourselves?
Amen.
Amen. And in these last days, he said, I'll give you more of my grace and more of my spirit. Amen. And I believe we're getting ready for great things. Amen. I want us to stand. I know we've been standing. Amen. But I want us to stand all over this house. Amen. I believe God wants to take this revival to the next level. Amen. How many's been getting help? Touch. God been talking to you. Come on, son.
Yes.
Amen. God's been talking to us. God's been helping us. Amen. But we're ready for that breakthrough, go to the next level in this revival. Amen. I want to leave out of this meeting knowing that I'm deeper in God than I was when this meeting started. Amen. Not just the same old feeling better, but I'm deeper. I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. I'm not the same. Amen. That's right. Amen. So I'm asking God tonight. We're going to pray. Ask God to orchestrate the remainder of this service that he'll be pleased with it tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you for your touch and your help. Thank you for your anointing. God, we know that it's not by might nor by power. God, it's by your spirit. Lord, without your spirit tonight, God, we'll just be a tinkling brass. God, we'll be nothing. God, we'll just beat the air. But tonight, we're asking you, Lord, send your spirit in a mighty way. Give us liberty to preach. Give us your anointing to preach. God, help us and anoint each and every one of us tonight, God, as we enter into everything, God, that you have for us in this service. God, we're asking you, God, to help us. Touch our bodies, our minds, our spirit tonight. Lord, do that that only you can do. Lord, and we're going to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of Genesis, chapter number 6 tonight. We want to thank you for your giving. Thank you for those that have helped with our meals during the day. And your giving, those that have bought CDs. If you get tired of that CD, give it to somebody else. Amen. That's what it's about. Amen. I was talking a while ago. I said, Brother Scott, we hadn't shouted yet. Let me tell you what, in services like this, sometimes, amen, we don't know what to do. But I'll tell you what you should do. It's when we get in this altar, let the Holy Ghost have his way. That's right. In these altars, when you get down to pray, amen, that you say, well, Brother Scott, you've just been kind of mean. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean. Amen. God's been talking to us. It's a different kind of atmosphere. When you get in this altars tonight, amen. I believe Brother Sister Strong, last time he was here, I wasn't preaching a shouting service at night. We weren't preaching a shout. But they got down here, both of them, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at night. Right. Amen. So when you get in this altar, it's not time to just, amen, it's not condemnation time. It's time to say, okay, Holy Ghost, we've heard your word. Cultivate the word of God in my heart. Let it bring forth fruit. Amen. I preach messages like I preached last night. And it ended up shouting. People falling out. They've been lost in the Holy Ghost. So when you get in this altar, that's the time to let the Holy Ghost have his way. Book of Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter 6. If you can't find the book of Genesis, come to the altar and pray. Amen. Right after the book of Index. Amen. Genesis chapter 6. Amen. Praise the Lord. Beginning to read in verse number 13. The Bible says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the pasture which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall there be, shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits. The height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou fashion it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Notice in these verses, God is giving Noah a very specific pattern. He says, I want you to make this window 1 cubit. I want you to make the length of it 450 feet. I want you to make the width of it 75 feet wide. I want you to make it 45 foot high. He said, I want you to make it as big as a World War I battleship. He said, but when it gets to the door of the ark, he doesn't give him any measurements, and he doesn't give him any specifics on that door. I want to preach tonight, and it's going to make sense as we go along. I want to preach tonight on it's time to remodel your ark. Amen. It's time to remodel the ark. Thank you for standing. Amen. Y'all are already looking at me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time to remodel the ark. Amen. We know that Jesus tells us that in these days that we're living in, they're going to be as the days of Noah were. Amen. The wickedness of that day, the excelling in knowledge and invention. Amen. It's the day that is typified of our day. And we know that God looked upon that day and saw that it was very evil. When you look at the ark as a type and a shadow, you can see a type and a shadow of the resurrected church. As that ark lifted up for the waters below and lifted up to heaven, it's a type of the raptured church. And it's a type of many different things. God doesn't have a big boat that's going to get us out of here, but He is building a church, amen, that's going to be a vessel that takes these, amen, people that have given their heart to God, that takes them away. Amen. I believe tonight, amen, that we're not calling them in 2x2 or 7x7. Amen. But it's still whosoever will. But I believe, amen, without a shadow of doubt, that you will not go in the rapture if you're not a part of the church. Amen. Amen. Just like those that did not make it into that ark, I did not make it, amen, in that flood. I got just become just the same tonight. If they're not a part of the church, I got they're not going to make it in that rapture. I had my wife call me today, and there's a woman that lives across the road from us, and she's a TBN follower. Amen. That's all right, I guess, if that's how you want to do. But she didn't go to church anyway. She sends her money to TBN and those TV preachers. She won't come to church. You can throw a rock from her house and hit our church, but she won't go there. You can go right across the road from her house, and there's another church right around the corner. There's 5 churches, but she just won't go. But she said today she was praying and started praying in the Holy Ghost, and Brother Scott came to her mind, and she had a prophetic word from me. But I hate to have to tell Brother Chris that. She may speak in tongues and pray and do all that, but if she's not in that ark when Jesus comes, hallelujah, you're looking at me now. If she's not in that ark, indeed, you say, I've got to be a member of the church. No, but you've got to be baptized into the body of Christ. Amen. And so this is the time. This is where we are. But Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we look at this ark and we see that God had given Noah, I got very specific instructions and very specific patterns to build this ark. He said, if you'll build it my way, when the judgment of God is flooded out in this world, you're not going to sink, you're going to make it. He said, when the judgment of God is poured out on the wickedness of this world, He said, you will not die, but you will live. Somebody scared said, well, do I need to move to another country because God's going to pour His judgment out on America? God said, if you'll do it my way, I'll judge. It may come. I got to send an angel down into Sodom and snatch Lot up out of there. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. I'm
devil.
Amen. It's those that are trying to do it their way. Come on now, are the ones that's going to sink and the ones that's going to go under. I love it when I see this picture of the ark. I can see the church in it. God, he said, I want you to build it of gopher wood. An incorruptible type of wood. A wood that doesn't rot very easy. He said, I want you to build it out of a rugged a wood. A type of Christ. Amen. He said, I don't want you to build it out of any old opinion or any old tradition. He said, I want you to build it out of Christ. Did you know? And if he's not the foundation, and if he's not what we're building with, this boat is not going to flow. My God. But did you know if we don't get back to him? Get back to him as the foundation of everything that we do. This boat ain't going to flow. Because God said, I'm going to obey what God said. Amen. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'll walk through the fire.
Two go in. Seven of every clean. Amen. Not only
he's maintaining life and he's maintaining worship.
Right.
Maintaining worship. And so they go in. And here they are. Amen. Noah. He said, this is how I want you to build it. He said, I want you to put a window in the top of that ark. 1 cubit by 1 cubit by 1 cubit by 1 cubit. He said, 18 inches square. He said, or 18 inches. Amen. On each side, I want you to make that window. He said, you're going to put it in the very top of that ark. What is that window going to do? That window's going to let in light and it's going to let in ventilation. Come on now, the wind, the air is going to come through that window. The breath, my God, is going to come through that window. The light is going to shine down through that window. That window cannot typify anything less than the ministry of the Holy Ghost to the church. My God, it gives us life. It gives us the breath and the ventilation. I don't know about you tonight, but I feel like scooting up next to the window. How about you? I feel like getting a little closer to the Lord. My God, I feel like getting even closer. My God, I want to believe and come through that window down where I am. My God, because I need a refreshing. I need a restoration. I want to get close.
Come on.
To that window. Amen. He said, you're going to put a window in the top of that thing and let the light in. And let, amen, the wind and the ventilation in. He said, you're going to make it, amen, one ark, but you're going to have three stories in that ark. Amen. Now, if we were in the Church of God, if I was over at Brother Myers, and I really had some good devoted Church of God men and women there, I could preach right there on saved, sanctified, amen, and Holy Ghost filled. Amen. That one ark with the three. Amen. Some people have preached it as the Trinity. Amen. You could preach by God of faith, love, and charity. It's been preaching it all kinds of ways. But I like to look at it over in Romans 12. I quoted it to you last night. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God as your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. When I look at that, I see the good and acceptable. Amen. Are you following me? And the perfect will of God. I believe there's people here tonight. You're on that bottom level. My God. I just want to preach a little simpler tonight. Amen. But you're on that bottom level. You're just here. You're just in the good will of God. Amen. But then there's some of us have climbed those steps and we got to the acceptable will of God. Now we pray and God gives us what we need. Now we pray and God meets our needs. Amen. But then there's some of us that have climbed up next to that window in that upper level of that ark and got in the perfect will of God. And now when we pray, we not only get what we need from God, but we get what we want from God.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
See? Come on. Amen. A lot of people in the church can pray and get what they need from God. But not many people can pray and get what they want from God.
All right. Come on. Come on.
But it takes somebody that says, I'm going to climb those steps. Amen. Get a little higher. See, it's all right. We may have some new converts in here tonight. But amen. You know you're down on that bottom level. You're coming into this thing trying to find God's will for your life. And there's some of us, my God, I feel like preaching tonight. There's some of us that have been in this thing long enough that the good will of God is not going to get by, my God. And down on that lowest level, if there is such a thing, my God, there's something inside of us that says, I don't want to barely get by. I don't want to just be in the acceptable will of God. I want to be up close to that window in the perfect will of God. I want the Spirit of God working and breathing and shining in my life.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. Your number one goal in a meeting like this is to climb those stairs. Come on and get up close to that window as you can. I got you not here to try to meet a quota of the church. You're here because you're going to get as close. Are you with me tonight? To that window as you can. And you're going to get right up there where the illumination of the Holy Ghost, the revelation of the Holy Ghost is shining in your life. You say, Brother Scott, you and Brother Timmy and Brother Myers, Brother Ezra, all these always talking about how God showed you, how God spoke to you. Well, hey man, there's just times that we get on our knees and we climb those stairs and get up in that window and the light and the revelation and the illumination of the Holy Ghost shines down on us. We begin to see things we never saw before.
That's right.
All right, come on.
Hidden things in darkness. I was pastoring a little church, and whatever I was doing, Brother Tim knows. I was up in Lakeland, outside of Lake City, Florida. We had just started, Brother Tim was there, our first service, 66 people in a $2 garage. Remember that? And got to go down there, and originally I just went just to help them get started, and wound up moving down there. Wound up selling everything I had, moving down there. And we had moved from the $2 garage and started having church in the social hall of the Baptist church. And we were having church there. Amen. And as I was praying, I said, God, don't let anything sneak up on me.
All right.
I've seen great men of God in my life. I got to have men living with them. And those men turned out to be homosexuals, and that man never knew. I've seen them have people on their platform. I got and it just turned into ungodliness they never knew. And I said, God, I don't let anything sneak up on me. Not belittling anybody else, but I just didn't, I couldn't handle it. I didn't have the personnel or the faculty. All I had was me and my wife. And so I said, God, and one day God spoke to me and said, there's about to be a move go through this church. There's going to be a move of jealousy, and they're going to leave you. I stood in that pulpit that night, that service, and I said, listen, God spoke to this preacher, and you're not going to hear me. I said, yes, God spoke to me. He said, there's going to be a way going through this church, and if you don't hear what I'm saying, you won't be here when it's over.
Right.
Well, I went up and preached a revival in Virginia. In the middle of that revival, a man called me. Sunday school superintendent called me and said, Brother Scott, we're leaving the church. We're taking the group, we're taking about 50 people with us. Why? Well, you got a youth pastor in here, and we feel like it's God's will for us to be the youth pastor. I said, you can't be the youth pastor. I told it before. I said, there's no way you're going to be over the youth because you're too shallow and ignorant of the Word of God. Amen. I should have said that, Pastor. Amen. Ignorant of the Word of God. Amen. You can't lead them. You're not even Holy Ghost filled. And I desire me. This is just me. Amen. Don't reflect this on any other pastor. But I didn't want anybody in leadership in my church that wasn't Holy Ghost filled. Amen. And I said, you're Robert. When he called me that day, and he said, we're leaving the church. And all of a sudden, it's like a word of wisdom come on me. I said, okay, brother. I said, we love you. I said, we thank you for the service that you have given us. Amen. If you ever need us, you just call us. Come visit us sometime. Well, we hung up the phone. The next day, that man called me back. He said, oh, Brother Scott, we changed our mind. We're staying at the church. I said, okay. I said, but all the confusion that you just caused in this church, well, I've been gone. You're going to have to stand up and apologize.
All right. Come on. All
right. All right. Woo! Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I said, you're going to have to apologize, and you're going to have to sit down and be taught instead of being the Sunday school superintendent.
All right.
Guess what happened? He left.
Right.
I said, he left. Oh, my God. Had a woman just leave our church. Amen. She went to a camp meeting. They was preaching against wearing flip-flops at camp meeting. Yeah. come out, teach a Sunday school that it was a sin to wear flip-flops. Somebody say it.
Come on.
Well, my wife wanted her up. Said, you can't do that. My wife went on her 7-day fast. She walked into that next Sunday morning. She said, Becky said, what are you doing in here? She said, I'm just going to sit in here and listen to you. Amen. She said, I'm not going to teach for you in here. You go ahead and teach. I got what happened. She got out of that Sunday school class, couldn't teach Sunday school anymore, and then all of a sudden she started dying spiritually. Oh, ever since I quit teaching Sunday school, I just can't make it. I just ain't getting what I need. Y'all looking at me now. I don't know why I'm preaching to you. Amen, but I'm telling you, this woman felt like that because she wasn't in leadership. I guess she could not make it in our church. I'll tell you what we've got to understand. Amen, we need some people that are in New Hope Revival Center. Same old preaching. But we got to climb those stairs. I don't know if there were stairs. I imagine there were. You got to get up there close to that window because we're lacking. Because we don't have very many people on that perfect level. Perfect. Now you understand, we're not perfect people, but you can be in the perfect will of God. I know this world taught you that it's impossible to know the will of God. It's impossible to be in the will of God. But it is possible through the grace and the leadership of the Spirit of God. He said, I'm going to leave this expedient that I go away. He said, I'm going to send a comforter to you, and he's going to show you all things. He said, the Spirit of truth shall lead you into all truth. What does that mean? That means if I walk in the Spirit, I'll please God. If I walk in the Spirit, I don't forget the lust of this flesh. You don't know why some of us have got off on some crazy stuff because we quit walking in the Spirit. And I'm ready to climb them stairs and get up there and I feel the power of God in my life.
Come on.
Come on. Levels in that ark. Amen. And the Bible said there are many rooms in that ark. You got one room with tigers in it. You got another room with monkeys in it. You got the peacocks down here. And you got the ostriches over here. Why? Because the lions can't be in the same room as the peacocks. Woo! Y'all look at that. The tigers can't be in the same room as the antelope. Amen. But they're all in the ark. This room down here, they lift their hands like this when they worship. That may even sway back and forth a little bit. Brother Timmy hates it, but they sway back and forth. This room down here, they lift their hands like this. And they holler through the top of their lungs and they praise God like that. But they're still in the ark.
Right.
This room down here, hey man, you get them going, you sing, these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. Aren't you glad I'm not leading and singing service? This room now here, amen, they can't get in with that. You sing these other days of Elijah in their pulpit, I got to look at you like you're crazy. Amen. Oh, listen up, you say, but you get up there behind the pulpit and you sing, I'll meet you by the river. They'll get in with you.
Come on.
Ooh, hallelujah. What's the difference? They're all in the ark. I want you to understand something. It's not my job to decide who gets in the ark and who don't.
Right.
If they come through the blood of Jesus, they're in the ark.
Right.
Well, y'all quiet now.
All right, come on.
If somebody didn't raise their hands like I raised, well, you probably won't have very many in your church. And you'll probably just have photocopies of Tim Baggett all in the church. Come on, somebody. Amen. And if we can't do it the way Sister Elders does, amen, then we just ain't going to do it. Listen to me. Amen. If they come through the blood, they're in the ark. I said, if they come through the blood, my God, you're looking at. If they come through the blood of the Spirit of God, determine what room they go in or whether or not they should be here. It's my job to climb them stairs and get up next to that window where the power of God is.
Amen.
All right.
We spend all of our time trying to figure out what room everybody belongs in. I've had pastors that I was under, they'd look at people and say, you don't belong here. One man stood up in our home church years ago, our little church in Valhalla, around about 50, that was long before I came. One day a little black sister come in. We got a little church in our hometown. It's not a really small church, a beautiful church. It's called Oracles of Deliverance Church. Amen. You see those women in town, you know what church they go to. They're Trinitarian holiness, just like us. I'm not talking about, you understand what I'm saying? I don't have to go in detail. Holiness women. Holiness men. One of those little women come down to the church one service. Amen. She got to praying with people in the altar and ministering to people in the altar. And one of them old men looked at her and said, excuse me, young lady, but you need to go back with your people where you belong. You don't belong here. That woman looked up at the pastor, Brother McDaniel, and said, is that true, Pastor? Brother McDaniel said, no. Split that church. I'm going to stop right here. Interject something. You're going to get upset with me. Amen. But if you can't humble yourself and wash a black man's feet, you can't go to God's heaven.
That's right.
John said, I've seen a number that no man can number. All nationalities, tongues, and races, all nations, that they all have their robes white, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's not my job. I've got to determine who goes in and who comes out. It's only my job to climb those stairs and get in the perfect will of God.
Right.
We have not built our arts like that. I understand now. Amen. I have to be careful right here. I understand. Amen. Some people's views of immigration. I understand some people's views. I don't believe it, but I understand it. I want you to understand heaven is an integrated heaven.
That's right, brother.
I told him the other day, not too long ago, and I said, if you're living in an area and the majority of the people around your church are of another ethnicity, and you don't have that ethnicity welcomed in your church, you're not a church.
Right.
You're a white cult.
Right.
Come on, smile at me. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Scott, what's your vision for Valhalla? I've got a vision for anybody that walks through that door to be saved and bloodbought. If they speak Spanish, my God will have a Spanish service. If they speak Chinese, we'll have a Chinese service. And Bible letters, it ain't my job to decide whether they can come in or not. It's my job to climb up those stairs and get close to that window.
Right.
Come on, bro.
Because see, there's no measurements on the door. So Noah has to build the door according to his own discretion. He can either make it as big as the side of that ark, or he can make it just small enough for things to enter in. This is what God laid in my heart today. How big is the door into your ark? We sometimes want to fit it just small enough. that the giraffes and the elephants of this world can't come in. Come on, but the beautiful antelopes and the majestic tigers can come in, my God. Amen. And so we allow some in and others cannot come in because we have, my God, you have made the entrance into this thing so small. We have made it so hard to get in. We have made it so difficult just to get into the ark. And some of us have built the ark of our lives with such a small entrance. Amen. That even God has a hard time getting in your life. Oh my God, I'm going to wait off into some deep stuff. Amen. But could it be that when we first got saved, am I making sense? I want to make sense. Could it be that when we first got saved, we opened that door, not to unclean spirits or just any spirit, but we opened it and we said, God, whatever you want to send, come on, whatever you want to do. Could it be when we first opened the doors of our churches and we say, God, we don't care who comes. Come on now, we don't care who comes. We just want some. Oh, I've heard them say, bless God, I'll preach in the pew. That ain't never done any good. Might as well go on somewhere else, shut the door. But could it be through circumstances and trials and troubles and tests that the door of our ark has gotten smaller and smaller? Am I making sense to you? And smaller. Well, let's take it another step. Let's drop down a level from the church as a whole, a church body. Let's drop it down to the church individually. And it could be that some of us in here, at one time we were open and ready for whatever God wanted to do. But for some reason, God's access into our life has gotten smaller. Am I making sense? And smaller and smaller. Our God, we're trying to get up next to that window. But there's no life coming in. That ark wasn't built just to save Noah. It wasn't built just to be a spectacle for the rest of the world to read about. It was built by God to keep life in this world.
Come on.
This church was not built to be a spectacle and a rival to other churches. Right. It was built to bring life to a world that's about to be flooded with judgment.
Amen.
And we have so modeled our churches, our arts, if you will. We have so modeled our arts. Amen. And we've only got tigers. One preacher preached a while back. He stood up in a pulpit. He said, I got something I struggle with. You know, preachers don't say that. You're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to let everybody know you got struggles, are you?
Come on.
That's what they teach us in the homeless church. Amen. But he said, I've got a struggle. He said, I don't know when to be a lion and when to be a lamb. See, some of us, we build our custom fit for only one type of people. Amen. I heard it said over and over again. I've been writing down. I've done it's not with just one person or one church, but I've been with groups of people going out door to door. And I've been driving with the van. I say, let's go down this street. They say, no, we don't need to go down that street. He said, those people have a lot of money and they won't listen to you. And they won't take a try. Let's go down.
Come on.
Well, now look at that. Now, I understand poor people seem sometimes to be more receptive of help. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. But you see what happens when we do things like that. Amen. As we cut off that window. And what I have found out, I had preached at a little church in my hometown. And the mother in that church, I used to be a friend of her son's when we were in school. His name was Travis. And Travis, he was without a job for several months. He had a handicapped child. He's my age. He lost. He got a tractor fell on him, broke his legs. Amen. And I thought, well, I'm going to go see Travis. Travis, where do you live? And he told me how to get there. I pulled into one of the nicest neighborhoods in the town. I pulled in one of the nicest houses in the neighborhood. That was Travis's house. And he was broken, busted, had a little baby that was born out of wedlock. And just they locked in the back room of that house because she didn't even know she was in the world. And if I only kept my door small,
right,
I would say, there's no need to go down in a neighborhood like this. These people don't need God. Boy, y'all looking at me now.
Right.
God, amen. We have to understand, we have limited our God.
Right, come on.
Are you with me tonight? I know. Amen. We have limited our God. Amen. And we have built an ark not after His pattern.
Right.
I said we have built an ark that's not after His pattern. It's after the pattern of the traditions of men. It's after the pattern of those that have gone on before. I've seen so many go on before. Great men and women of God. And some of the greatest men of God. Amen. That were successful in revivals everywhere else. But when they came home.
All right.
Are you with me?
Right.
I know a great man. I always looked up to him. And if I call his name, some of you may know. He's dead now. Gone. Old Indian preacher. Amen. He was a great man of God, preacher God would speak to him. Amen. But he only run just a small number in this little church. And I thought, dear God, how does a great man of God like that have such a small result at home? Well, he was so ridiculously strict that he called them out before they could even get saved. And he made the door to his ark small. I'm going to tell you what God laid in my heart. I need to put this in my heart yesterday. We have built an ark. There has been a church built. And I'm not talking about this one in particular. Look at this individually. Our ark. My ark. My rapture-ready vessel. Do I need to remodel this ark? There's something awesome about remodeling. Me and my father, before I went full-time, right at the beginning, before and full-time, me and my daddy had a business that we remodeled houses. And I love remodeling a lot of remodeling work. And there's one thing, there's three things about doing a remodel job. Number one, a remodeling job is usually messier than you anticipated.
Right.
Usually it takes more time than you anticipated. And most every time it costs more money than you anticipated. Can I tell you what we need individually? See, some of us coming here tonight, we think, oh God, I just need a touch up. No, you don't need a touch up.
Right.
You need God to strip down all that old paint.
Right.
Somebody said, oh God, I'm just coming in here and I need an oil change. Well, pull it up in God's garage. He said, you need more than an oil change. You need an overhaul.
Right. Come on, preaching. Come on.
Oh, brother. Oh, if I could just get some paint on the shutters and everything, if I know, I get in there and I find out, hey, man, this thing is rotten on the inside. You need more than a touch up. I know we need a remodel job. We need God to come in and tear down everything we built and every tradition and mindset. And we need to say, God, we're ready to build this thing according to your pattern.
Right.
But listen to what God says.
Amen.
Can I just say it like I feel it? He says, Noah, build the door as big as you want to build it. Am I making sense to you? Build it as big as you want to build it. Don't put a limit on it. How many feel like tonight, God, I'm ready to climb up those stairs, get in the perfect will of God, and God begin to pattern my life according to His perfect will, and then God says, hey, ask me what I'll do.
Right.
What's the word of God? The word of the Lord for New Hope Revival Center tonight. You're building an ark. You're trying to hear God build according to the pattern. I know this man of God. Amen. I know him personally. And I know he's trying to build this ark. You don't know how I know? Amen. Because some men walk in here and disagree with you. Woo! Hallelujah. He's not doing it according to somebody else's pattern. He's doing it according to how God put it in his heart. This is what God's saying to this church. Don't settle for this small little door. Only allow just a little bit of life in at a time. I got an old 1978 double wide trailer. Come on, somebody shout. Woo! Paid for it, brother.
All right.
Given to me. 5 bedrooms. Come on. Given to me. 2x6 floors. Woo! Wood floors all the way out, throughout. Somebody donated to the ministry. Wood floors all the way through. Was it a beauty when I got it? No. Had to replace floors and sheetrock walls and put a new roof on it, but it's paid for. Somebody shout.
Yes.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Amen. Still ain't finished. Still ain't done. But one day I had a problem. They had that old thin metal front door that goes up, you know, the tie, and if it gets hung up on the floor, you're about bending in half trying to shut it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Got to kick it to get it all shut. Somebody know what I'm talking about.
Woo!
I said, dear God, I'm tired of this thing leaking. So I was going to go get just a standard front door for a house. Well, I got a standard front door for a house. How about the standard front door for a 1978 double wide trailer?
Right.
So I had to cut the siding down this side and cut it down this side and cut it out and fit that thing up in there. Woo! You ain't never seen so much caulk in your life. I want you to understand. I hope I'm making sense to you. The door we've made is not fitting this generation. We need a remodel. God, come in. How many would mind? How many really have such a heart? Not trying to quit. How many have a heart that says, God, I'll start all over tonight. Level it down to the ground, if that's your will. And I'll start on that foundation of you, if it ain't right.
All right, boy.
There's a song, I love it. And I sing it down in Florida, and people, well, I don't sing it downstairs. But I mention it down in Florida, and people look at me funny. But you'll understand it. It says, I need you like a hurricane. Thunder crashing, wind and rain to tear these walls down. I need you like a burning flame, a wildfire untamed to burn these walls. Do you know what we need God to do?
Right.
Y'all looking at me tonight, don't you understand? We need God to remodel this ark. We need pitch within, pitch without. We've got to have that window shining. The only way it's going to be revealed, you see, in this hour, I'm quitting. There's a delusion going through the church. People are blinded. The godless world is blinded to the minds of them that believe not. And there's a veil over the face and the eyes of the people. They're not seeing things clearly. And God is pulling back the veil in this revival. And saying, you thought you just needed a little bit of work. I'm saying I need to tear down the walls you built there. And I need to make this opening bigger so you can receive everything I would put into you. Brother Tim made a statement last night that stirred me, and I pondered on it, and I was going to talk to him about it, but I didn't. I just prayed. He made a statement last night, and he may not even remember saying it, but he said, not everybody is ready to receive it. So, dear God, I'm preaching too deep. You know how we do, we look inward. I don't know how you do, but I look inward. I say, God, am I doing wrong? My friends are too strong. My friends are too deep. Am I talking about too much? Am I just a young preacher preaching about zeal? Amen. Just looking in, Lord. And I'm saying, dear God, not everybody is ready to receive it. You have to understand, we've got to be up to a place where the veil is pulled away. And we begin to see, God, I'm ready to be ready. I'm ready to be ready. I'm not anything you want to bring through that door. My God, any kind of life you want to put in my heart. Amen. I want everything.
Yes. Amen.
Say this to get out your way. I can see knowing Ham, knowing Shem, knowing whoever standing at the ark door. The cheetahs have already come in, Brother Chris, because they're pretty clean. They're fast. They're runners. The lions are already in. The jaguars, they're quick. And then behind them's the bears and the elephants and the giraffes. All of those faster antelope are in there. Amen. Then comes the hippos, and there comes finally there comes the turtles. Amen. They're dragging up the rear, but the ark door stays open. And Noah looks at Ham and says, "Don't you think the door should be shut? Is that everything?" He says, "I believe that's everything." Amen. Why ain't the door shut yet? Maybe they look down the road, Brother Elk, and there's a little snail climbing up that door. And finally that little snail, after about 30 minutes, makes its way into that ark, and the door shuts behind it. Let me tell you something, snail. You're in this house and you haven't got in as quick as other people. You haven't made it as far as other people. I've come to tell you the door ain't shut. Hallelujah. The door ain't shut. It's not going to shut until you get in. I said, it's not, my God, have mercy. I said, He's going to leave it open for you to get in. Some of you here tonight say, it's over. There ain't no way. No, no, no. This is our job in this sermon. What you should do tonight is when you come out of your pew, you get down in this altar. Whatever you do, stand. It doesn't matter to me. But you start walking up those stairs. And you say, God, my number one objective in this revival of mine is to get up out of that window where your light is, where your wind is, where your spirit's moving. How many want to be up next to that window? I want you to stand in the night. Amen. I want to get up next to that window. I'm tired of being down in this low level. I'm barely getting by, God. I'm tired of just being on that acceptable level where everything's okay. And I know I'm ready to get right up where the presence of God is. How many feel that way tonight?
Come on, bro.
If you feel that way tonight, you say, God, it's time for me to remodel my ark. There's just some things that just ain't right. I need to remodel that ark. Maybe some of you may have caught hold of what I was talking about, the different rooms. And you said, God, I just can't get in because I hear the tigers roaring. I can't get in because I hear the roosters crowing down the hallway. Listen, just get over it. We're all in the ark. Come on, somebody. I was talking to a man today. He's so ridiculously strict. Hard man. Very hard pastor. But I couldn't get off the phone with him today without telling him I loved him. Because it was in my heart and my mind to tell him that I loved him. He may be in another room down that hall. Brother Chris, if you come through the blood,
right,
he's in that ark. I'm just ready. Am I making sense?
All right.
I'm just ready to climb them stairs.
Come on.
Get up next to that window. Come on, I want you to come. Let the Holy Ghost have His way in this altar service tonight. Say, God, I'm ready to climb them stairs, get the perfect will of God.